It's a schosen and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah starts off, Mem Dalad Yidches. We're in the middle of a cliffhanger. As we all know, they find the goblet in Binyamin. In Binyamin's sack, and now Yehuda starts off. By Yigash, I love Yehuda. Vayomer bi Adoni yidaber no abdecha. And Yehuda comes and he says, "If you please, my Lord, you Yosef davar beznei Adoni v'al yichar apecha be'abdecha ki kamochi kaparo. Let me speak. Don't have your anger come against me. And you're like Paro. What you're doing to us? Let me speak." And it's very interesting. Yehuda goes on for a whole story. And he tells him exactly what happened, how his father's feeling, and now you took this, and my brother wasn't there. And all of a sudden, Yosef can't control himself anymore. And the first question is, what was so special about this speech? How come right after this speech, again, Yosef went through so much, why right after the speech of Yehuda, he couldn't control himself anymore? Question one. Question two, the Beis Halevi, one of the most famous Beis Halevis, if it's not, we'll make it famous now, but it's a very well-known Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi was one of the great Rosh Yeshivas of Volozhin. He lived in 1820 to 1892. He was the Rav of Slutz, and he was the great-grandson of Rav Chaim Volozhin, the great Beis Halevi. It's interesting that we only have his sefer on Voracious and Shemos, a very used sefer in all the yeshivas. And the Beis Halevi quotes a very famous Medrash. The Medrash says, found in Sadi Gimel Yud, quoting from Bereshis Rabbah, Rav Cohen Abba Bardala. We know that when Yosef reveals himself, he says four words, which we all know. Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. And the brothers can't speak afterwards. The Beis Halevi quotes down the Medrash that says, Oy lonu miyoyim adin, oy lonu miyoyim atochecha. Woe to us in the day of judgment. Woe to us of the day that we're going to face the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the question the Beis Halevi asks, what does it have to do with Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai? All he said was a couple of words. Why was that the greatest mussar that he could give? He could have said, listen, you tried killing me. You did all these things to me. Why did he say Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai? Question two. We know that it's very interesting. Yaakov gets word. You know, he's referred back and forth from Yaakov to Yisrael, from Yisrael to Yaakov. It's interesting, actually, that there's four times in Tanakh. My father-in-law, Rav Shoris, always talks about this. There's four times in Tanakh that Hashem comes to someone and he says their name twice. He says, Avraham, Avraham. Also, right over here in Perek, Membav, Pasuk, Beis, it says, Vayomer Elokim li Yisrael. Hashem says to Yisrael, "Ba'maros ha'layla," in the darkness of the night, "Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer hineini," and it switched. There's a switch from Yisrael to Yaakov. We know that Yaakov's name switched from Yaakov to Yisrael, but over here it says Yaakov, Yaakov. Another time it says Moshe, Moshe. When Hashem comes to Moshe by the snare, and lastly by Shmuel Novi, it says Shmuel, Shmuel. But as we all know, the Medrash says, a very interesting Medrash, that when Yosef sent word to Yaakov that he's still alive, he sent him Agolos, and Rashi brings down, why Dafka the Agolos? Because that was the last sugya they were talking about. They were talking about Egla Arufa. And the Medrash says something amazing. It says that when Yaakov was coming down, he cut down the cedar trees that were planted by Avram Avinu, and then he brought them down to Mitzrayim, and eventually those cedar trees were brought to Eretz Yisrael for the Beis HaMikdash, used for the Mizbeach, used for the Beis HaMikdash. What is this Medrash? And lastly, what's going on with Yaakov? He's finally meeting up with Yosef, one of the most emotional moments in Jewish history. And we know it's interesting, Rashi says, Perek Memba, Pasuk of Tes, Vayare Lo, Vayipola Savarov, Vayivarech Al Savarov Od. So we know throughout all Chazal, there's always emotions, and usually with emotions, there's one person kissing the other. But Rashi brings down from the Medrash, as we all know, that Yaakov, one of the most emotional, couldn't see his son for 22 years. He didn't know. Again, he didn't give up hope, but he didn't know if he was alive or not. And Yaakov starts saying, Kriyat Shema. Listen, it was Yaakov. I'm sure he could have worked out the timing. Why specifically at that time? What, he was running late? He thought he was going to miss his man. Listen, he invented Maariv. He has the whole night. So why specifically he's coming and meeting with his son? Why at that point give him a kiss, say, wow, my son, I'm here? Why did he say Kriyat Shema? So again, just to chazer over the three questions, what was so special about the speech of Yehuda that made Yosef just break down and reveal himself? The Beis Halevi's question is when Yosef revealed himself and he said, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avichai, that was the greatest Musar, Oy Lonu Miyom Adim, Oy Lonu Miyom HaTochacha. And lastly, when Yaakov finally meets up with his beloved son Yosef, why did he say Kriyat Shema at that point? He should have just started kissing him and crying together. So what's the Yisod? What's the Yisod? So Yosef, again, the second in command, he built himself up. It was the darkness, and he had, even Yosef had such difficulties dealing with the Potiphar's being thrown in jail. And the Achronim say, again, this point is debatable, but Yosef didn't exactly know the role of his father. He knew that his father loved him. He knew that his father gave him the Ketonas Pasim. And he learned Bechavrusa, and Rashi brings down, right when we're introduced in Parshas Vayeshev, that Yaakov and Yosef learned together. Yosef looked like Yaakov. But Yosef wasn't exactly sure. Why was his father not looking for him? Although he loved him, because every parent loves their child, why was he not looking for him? And there's a fascinating pasuk, because Yehuda turns to him, and he says, I'm going to tell you that my father is in so much pain. He lost his son. His son is not here. And right at that moment, Yosef said, wow, my father's chas v'shalom, he wasn't in on this at all. He really loves me. The brothers must have told him something, that I wasn't alive or something happened to me. But Yehuda revealed to him in this speech that his father loved him, and the reason why he didn't come and look for him, because he had no clue. He had no clue that he was still alive. And the Bali Musar explained that although obviously there was such a strong relationship between Yaakov and Yosef, Yaakov should have kept on saying to him, I love you. I love you so much. And a parent needs to constantly tell their child, I love you. Even if it's known that the parent loves them, the child needs to hear it. And the child needs to tell his parent that I love them. They're not just telling him because I want something out of it. I want to get the car. I want to get some cash money. No, they need to always show that love. And it's the same thing with spouses. You got to keep on saying things. Obviously, you have to mean it. You can't just say whatever you want. But you got to show the love and you need to say the love. Now comes along the Beis Halevi, and the Beis Halevi says, Oy lanu leom adim, oy lanu biyom atokecha. You know, the greatest musar that Yosef gave to the brothers was, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. You've been going on and on about my father. You've been going on and on about my father, that he's in so much pain and he's in so much struggling. Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Obviously Yosef knew that his father was alive. But sometimes when we just point out our contradictions in life, because again, we're all working, we're all growing people, but sometimes we have contradictions. A person says, oh, all I wish is to have more free time to learn, to do more chesed, to do what I can. And guess what? He's given that opportunity for free time, and he wastes that time. That's oy lanu miyoy madim, oy lanu miyoy matochucho. That a person does not take advantage. He thinks one way, and he does something the opposite. A person says, oh, I wish I could learn. And he's given the opportunity. He has the time to learn, and he doesn't take advantage. I once heard a great story. A great story. I told the story before. A couple of years, I told the story to Shana Ben and Svat. It's a great story. Everyone loves story. Right? We wake up, Jews. Goyim go to sleep by stories, and Jews wake up by stories, yeah? I don't think I ever told this story. If I did, I'm sorry. Not so sorry. But here we go. There was a great Rosh Yeshiva. He passed away a couple years ago. The great Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He was the son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik. He was Rosh Yeshiva of Gush. Tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. I've seen him. I met him a couple of times. I remember being a Madrich at NCSY Kollel. And the only thing I remember, he was giving a shiur going on and on about amazing. He didn't budge. He just kept on going. It was like 3 hours. And there was a little, the only thing I remember about the shiur is that there was a little fly on his head. And like, you know, if a fly's on the head, you want to hit it, get it away. He didn't move. He didn't move from the fly. It was just like, I'm focused, I'm in the zone, I'm learning the Torah. But an amazing story happened. Back in the day, they didn't have cell phones. Can anyone imagine? They didn't have WhatsApp. Basically, people called their parents like once a year. They had to get this special coin called the Asimon. You had to find a phone on the street. And it was hard to be in touch with people. However, there was a phone outside the Beis Medrash. And one time, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was in the Beis Medrash because he was a tremendous masmin and he learned the whole night. And there was also a couple other bachrim. And the phone kept on ringing. And no one was picking up. So the great Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, decided, listen, the phone's ringing. Maybe it's an emergency. I need to pick up late at night. So he picks up the phone, and he answers the phone, and it's a girl. And the girl starts like this. Again, I'm not making fun of girls, Chas v'shalom, but I'm going to imitate a girl. Hi, my name is Rachel. What's your name? So he's like, my name is Aaron. So she's like, Aaron, I need you to look into the Beis Medrash and find my boyfriend Yaakov Goldman. Do you know my boyfriend Yaakov Goldman? And he says, I know some of the Bachurim, I don't know everyone, but she's like, Yaakov is so frum, he's so stark, he should be in the Beis Medrash. You know, we were supposed to go out 2 nights ago, and I know he doesn't normally miss night Seder, but he needed to see me, because we're a couple, we've been going out for so many years, and it's amazing. He says, yeah? So he says, yeah, I love Yaakov, you have to get to know him, Yaakov Goldman, you got to get to know him, he's such a great guy. And he's like trying to figure out what's going on. And then she's like, Aaron, let me just tell you, Aaron, that not only is he such a great guy, I love him so much. Are you going to tell him for me that I love him? So Aaron's like, okay, I'll tell him that you love him. The next day, Yaakov Goldman gets a tap on his shoulder from the great Rosh Yeshiva. And again, there was a pachad, there was a fear, you know, back in the day, you know, even in Europe, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva talks to you, it's like, whoa. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein calls Yaakov into his office, and he says, you know, I got a phone call from a girl, Rachel, and she said that she's upset that you weren't able to see each other 2 nights ago, and you're very frum, and you're a great boy, and by the way, she loves you. And the guy's mouth drops open. The great Rosh Yeshiva just called him in. He didn't say anything! He didn't give him mussar. He didn't say anything. All he did was he gave him the facts that this is what his girlfriend Rachel said. And the embarrassment. Says the great Beis Halevi, Oy lonu miyoyim adin, Oy lonu miyoyim atoichicho. Again, we're in this world to be growing people. We're in this world. Again, we have struggles. We have ups. We have downs. But we want to be consistent. Consistency is such a difficult thing. But the more a person gets consistent with his actions, you know, I just started a thing with one of the Bachrim and the Shir that we're trying to take on, me, myself, and the Bachrim, and more Bachrim should do it, because one of the hardest things is to go to sleep on time. A lot of people, I'll tell you, the greatest segula to not be tired is to go to sleep. A lot of people think they're night people, so since they're night people, they could stay up. Again, it's easier when you're up and you're awake, so it's easier to stay up, but it's the hard part is to wake up when it's the morning. So we were working on this deal, me and this Bachrim, and it's a struggle. We got to go to sleep by a certain time. We tell each other if we made it by a certain time. Because the point of life is being consistent. As we all know, the Inyaku brings down in the beginning of Hakdama, not a real source for this. I once heard Sobolovsky say, there's no source for this exactly in Chazal. But the Ein Yaakov brings down that what's the most famous pasuk in the Torah? You might think it's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Or you might think that it's V'haftol Arecha Kamocha, and all those things are great. But says the great Ein Yaakov, Et HaKeves Echad Taseh B'Boker. Because the more a person gets consistent with his actions, the greater it's going to be. You know, they tell a story of Rav Elia Lopian. He was one of the biggest Bali Musar. He lived in Shari Chesed. I give a shout out to my parents, the department Shari Chesed. They're here now. Oh, Baruch Hashem. And Rav Lopian, there was a bachur in his yeshiva, and he was a bachur that tried, but he never woke up. He didn't wake up for davening. He didn't wake up for shir. And Rav Lopian always tried to work with him, but it didn't work out so well. One day, the bachur had a flight to go back to America. Again, flights weren't so easy back in the day. And he had a flight to go back to America, and the bachur missed the flight. And he came to Rav Lopian, and he said, the great Mashkiach, I missed my flight. And Rav Lopian said, I'm not happy you missed your flight, but I am happy in a certain way. Again, I once told the story, there was a bachur that did not like his story. I hear why you wouldn't like the story, but I'll tell you why I'm happy. Because if you go up to Shemayim Eva Esrim, and Hashem says, hey, why didn't you get up for Shacharis? Why didn't you get to Shir? Why didn't you do what you can? And He's going to say, wait, you had a flight, and you got to the flight 3 hours early. You made the flight. I remember, everyone loves stories. The one time I almost missed my flight, it was, you know, I almost missed the flight. I was with a bunch of my kids. We were in for a chasana. We were going to Chicago, I think the airport O'Hare, or maybe whatever the airport's called. And the lady, I had an infant ticket. One of my relatives told me that I don't need to bring my passport because what's the point? It's a domestic flight. The wedding was in Chicago. But I decided I'm a guy that's just a safety guy. And I brought my passport. And the lady at the desk, by mistake, wrote on the ticket, I have younger daughters and older daughters, a lot of girls, a couple of boys now, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Hashem blesses me. And he wrote on the ticket, Sarah, one of my younger daughters. She's not so young anymore, but he wrote Sarah twice. It was supposed to be Sarah and Shifra. I come to the front of the giving my ticket, and they're like, you have two tickets for Sarah. I said, does that make sense? When I have two tickets for Sarah, they're like, I'm really sorry. So I'm going crazy. I'm running back and forth. I'm like sweating like a Rebbe. I don't know if it's Rebbe sweat, but I was sweating a lot. And finally, I found one person, the normal person. And I'm like, listen, my flight's in 45 minutes. I need to get through security. My whole family, I can't be stuck in Chicago another night. It's such a mess. And the lady, thank God, Siyata Dishmaya. I don't know if I wrote my Siyata Dishmaya book at that time. I think it was before 2016, maybe. But she looks at me, she's like, that's so silly. The lady made a mistake. I'll just fix it on the spot. Thank God, I made my flight literally by 10 minutes. It was crazy. But Rav Lopian, back to the story, Rav Lopian said, I want consistency. So when you go up to Shammai, after Mayim Esrim, and he says, hey, you missed your flight. He'll say, you missed your flight. I see you're consistent. You're consistent in the wrong way. But I see that you're consistent. The consistency. Oh, Ilonu Miyom Adin, yeah, you care so much about your father. So why did you cause pain to him for 22 years? Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. Why did you do this to him? The most pinnacle, the most moving moment. Yaakov and Yosef meeting up. Again, it switches. I once heard from one of my rabbeim, Rav Sacks. He says that, you know why the switch of Yaakov and Yisrael? Yisrael represents the collective Klal Yisrael, as we know, the Gemara in Kedushin says, we're learning Kedushin, Yeshishim Rivoy, Alfei Yisrael, 600,000 Jews, Yisrael, Sarei Kel, I'm straight with the Ribbono Shalom. But then he switches his name to Yaakov. Why is that? So he said, nice try. Yisrael represents the national Klal Yisrael. Yaakov represents the individual, the struggles of it. When he's going down to Golis, and we're still in Golis, and we need to get out of the Golis. But when he's going down to Mitzrayim, leaving Eretz Yisrael, he says, Yaakov, Yaakov! Because you're going to have personal struggles. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to have the Makom Shrina because you're not in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But then Yaakov comes and he says, Kriyat Shema. Why is that? Why do you say Kriyat Shema? So the Sefer Chinuch writes in Tov Yudches, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, he says, you know when you have the greatest love, when you look around the world and you see what Hashem has done for us, Ma'arabu Masech Hashem, giving us the opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael, you know, people, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come to Eretz Yisrael, the Vilna Gaon, so many greats, all they wanted was to come to Eretz Yisrael, there were some Gedolim that even tried walking to Eretz Yisrael. The greatness, what Hashem has given us, the wealth, and the ability to give staka, the ability to work, right? We just went to Siach Sod last week to work with Yachad, to work with the Yachad organization, and to work with Camp Hask, because Rav Judah just came, right? Give a shout out to Rav Benny Hushkowitz, Gavaldik, Yachad, and the ability to help people, the Marav Masecha Hashem. And Yaakov was able to channel it. He was able to channel it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, saying, wow, Hashem, for 22 years I had so much struggles. I had an Esav, he said last week, Allah, I had an Esav, I had a love on Yosef, I had a Dina, all these struggles. And again, I don't always understand why I have struggles. We'll never understand. But the Chafetz Chaim said something amazing. He says, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. So again, we're the outside party. We know this story. We learned the story since we were 4 years old. Maybe five. But we know what happens. But when the brothers were in it, can you imagine the stories going on? They don't know what's going on, trying to get food, and they're spies, and their father, and with five words, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, history changed. Says the Heiliga Chavetz Chaim, when Hashem reveals the Mashiach to us, history is going to change. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Yaakov was able to channel the love to Hashem for everything, even though he had the struggles. The choices in Brachos, Yudbeis Amidbei, says that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We know that the Gemara in Makos tells us, the Gematria of Torah is 611. There are two of the Aseres HaDibros that weren't given. Says the great Tosfos, amazing. He says, Anochi Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, you're one. Right? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hayahu Ve'yeh. He's the same, the Ribbono Shel Olam, before, after. Lo Yeh Elokeinu Elachirim, the second of the Aseres HaDibros. There's no other God, there's just the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we see that we're in the Golus now. We need to be consistent with our actions. We have to try hard, it's not easy. We need to be consistent as much as we can. Consistency is so important. Yosef finally realized, again, obviously his father loves him, and he loved him. But again, you got to always express it. Everyone has different stories in their head why different things happen, and everyone has different pshatim of why things happen. Sometimes you just need to say it out loud. Thank your parents. Tell them that you love them. You need to say it, right? When your parents, God willing, or anyone listening to this year, that a parent say it more in a real way, that you love your children. Say to your spouse how you love them, they need to hear it. And lastly, the meeting between Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov is going down. Yaakov, Bemaris Halayla. But again, history could switch so fast. In 1 second, the Ribbono Shel Olam could change everything. In 1 second, he could reveal himself to us. And he could just say, wow, again, Klal Yisrael, you've been through so many struggles, so many ups, Holocaust, pogroms, inquisitions, Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed, but in 1 second, history could change. Everyone should have an amazing Parshas Vayigash. Take advantage of these awesome stories. Get Musar from these stories. And Be'ezus Hashem, everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.